For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, everyone, to the March 20th edition of Wednesday with Walton and Newberry, coming to you from thecardinalnation.com and also simulcast each week via the Scoop Sport Network and all your favorite podcast apps. This is not a fake background here. This is the palm trees and the setting here in Florida. I'm actually at Singer Island, Florida, about 100 yards away from the beach that way. After a day at the ballpark, it's a great place to be. We're obviously recording this on Tuesday evening. Between the double headers that the Cardinals had a split squad day. And welcome, Blake.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here. I'm jealous. You've got second winter in Ohio, and it looks like you're doing great over there in Florida.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. So this week we'll talk a little bit about system rankings of farm systems briefly. We talked about players last time. We'll touch briefly on the Oliver Marmol extension because that's a big piece of news. The spring breakout games, obviously, that were held this past weekend, for a great prospect showcase. Talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in Major League camp in terms of the rosters and injuries and opportunities that might open up for others. And I think that'll pretty much take care of our time. It was an interesting day for me here in Florida in that the minor league games, of course, started last week on the 14th. And after the first couple of games, the results are on our site, by the way, at the Cardinal Nation, so you can read about those first couple of games. The Cardinals had two camp days, and that's games where they basically scrimmage against one another. And I haven't seen the stats from that. But today there were supposed to be four games, two games at Jupiter and two games at Port St. Lucie against the Mets. Unfortunately, the Cardinals games in Jupiter were canceled. So, and I wasn't at Port St. Lucie in time to see, but I watched a major league game and have to say, I'm a little concerned about Kyle Gibson at this point. He gave up two long home runs to Jazz Chisholm. And while the wind in Florida is always an issue, today it was really blowing left to right. It wasn't blowing out. And Gibson has a 12 ERA this spring, and I'm a little concerned about that. So, you know, it puts more impetus on, you know, watching to see what happens with both Zach Thompson and Matthew Liberatore as kind of the next starters in line. I want to talk briefly about the Cardinal systems rankings. Oh, the other thing I want to talk about today's game, Victor Scott. Go take a look at my feed on Twitter. Some others have posted it as well. But in the second inning, he made a catch that probably saved a run for Gibson, beautiful diving catch in left center as he was coming in from dead center. Definitely worth seeing. Victor Scott, and he's batting .300. He's over 300 now this spring and playing very good. I'm not sure he's going to push his way onto the roster. A lot will depend on how long Tommy Edman and Lars Nootbaar are out. What's your take on Scott making the team, Blake?
Yeah, I think Scott's been really impressive this spring. And with that said, I don't want to see him make the team. I love how he's played. He's really put himself on the doorstep of the majors, which is great. I'm just hesitant to bring up a prospect who, again, I question the bat at this point if it's going to actually translate well to the majors. I'd rather not, and that's just right now if he's brought onto the majors. Not that it can't translate better if he gets time to actually season a little bit longer in AAA. I would just rather not rush that development yet when the Cardinals have guys like Michael Ciani, Dylan Carlson, Brendan Donovan could maybe be a factor in left field. Alec Burleson's in there too. I think they have enough to fill in for the couple weeks, hopefully, that Edman and Nootbaar are out, where they don't have to rush Scott's development.
So now let's talk about farm system rankings. A number of the major concerns, Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, ESPN, Keith Law at The Athletic, and MLB themselves, MLB Pipeline, rank the 30 farm systems. And this year, the Cardinals averaged out among those six raters at 21st. That's down from ninth last year. And that 21st average showing is the worst since 2010. So it's been a long time. Now, on one hand, you know, the Cardinals had four major players graduate from the prospect rankings in the last year, Jordan Walker, Alec Burleson, Matthew Liberatore, and Ivan Herrera. But they also brought nine prospects in via trade in late last year. And of them, really only second baseman Thomas Ajayi and right-handed pitcher Tekoa Robey are the only ones that are in the top 100s right now. So, you know, because the system rankings tend to look a lot at the high end prospects, the Cardinals really don't stack up that well. And in addition to being averaging 21st overall, they're last in the NL Central. The three other organizations, the four other organizations, excuse me, all average somewhere in the top 10 or 11, with the Cubs having the second ranked system in baseball. So now the Cardinals have some work to do, you know, continuing to develop the farm system. One of the major things that happened last week, as you probably all know by now, Oliver Marmol was kind of received a surprise 2-year extension. He was a lame duck going into his last year of contract. The Cardinals didn't want that. Of course, the Cardinals did very well his first year and very poorly his second year. And it looks like Marmol will be the manager, at least, you know, through the term of John Mozeliak as president of baseball ops. What was your take when you saw that announcement? Like,
yeah, it was interesting. I definitely wasn't expecting that. I think to a degree, it makes sense that Marmol and Mozeliak would kind of be tied at the hip there in terms of contract length. And I think it makes sense with the Cardinals being who they are to not want to go into the season with a manager who's a lame duck. So like I get it from that perspective. I don't think the extension is long enough to where they can't fire him if they get off to some catastrophic start to the season. So I don't think it changes anything in that regard. I think it's just kind of showing Marmol, you know, you're not immediately on the hot seat. We're not like you have a bad 3 series to start the year and you're gone. I think it's supposed to at least bring some sort of stability at the start of the season. But if it gets a little bit later into the year and they're still struggling, I don't think that's prohibitive for them.
So this last weekend, there were two spring breakout games. The Cardinals had the opportunity to participate in two, where all the other organizations only got to do one. And it had to, this, well, one other organization got to do it twice, because that had to do with 15 teams in Florida and 15 in Arizona. So it was an odd number. But anyway, the Cardinals played Friday. It was advertised that all the games would be televised, but there was a snafu on Sunday. There was no video. But on Friday, even, it was blocked out in St. Louis for the first 3 innings. So a lot of people didn't get to see the Cardinals star of the first game of the spring breakout, and that was Tink Hentz. What have you seen from Tink Hentz both this spring as well as in that spring breakout game?
Yeah, I think Tink Hentz just looks impressive. And that's exactly what you would want to see from a prospect of his caliber. But it's an electric fastball. I think he's pretty much averaging 96 on it. Comes from a really low release. It's going to play well at the top of the zone. It has played well at the top of the zone this spring. Like, the fastball is absolutely his bread and butter pitch. The changeup looks equally impressive. It's probably his best secondary. It gives him a real weapon to use against lefties, but he will use it against righties too. He's shown that this spring. He showed it last year. And then when we look at the slider, I think has kind of surpassed his curveball. It's just a really heavy downward action slider. Not a ton of sweep on it, but it's just a lot of sharp drop. He throws it pretty hard. Just, it's a really complete arsenal from a pitcher who just has really good stuff and is able to command that stuff well for both his age and just the fact that he's electric. You usually don't see that combination.
Joshua Baez had a great game in game two, hit a big home run. He's a prospect that we talked a lot about over the years. Really kind of had a down year repeating Palm Beach in 2023. Do you think Baez is turning the corner?
I don't know about turning the corner, just simply based on one home run in the spring, but that power was demonstrative of, or the home run was demonstrative of the power that he has. The power, it's immense raw power. He doesn't always get to it in games, but it's there. And he just has a lot of tools across the board. And it's important to remember this guy's only like 20 years old, maybe he just turned 21, but he's still super young. He's younger than a lot of the guys the Cardinals are going to draft in this next draft. So there's still plenty of runway for him, at least in terms of his own career, to actually develop.
Anybody else you saw in the spring breakout game that you want to comment on, Blake? The spring
breakout game? Yeah, there were a couple. So I know, actually, I think on a previous version of this podcast, we talked about how Chase Davis is somebody that I was expecting to see some swing changes from. He showed those in the spring prospect, or in the breakout game. His leg kick was smaller. The hand action and the load was more subtle. It was toned down. It looked like a lot like he was trying to just kind of shorten up a lot of his actions in his swing to try to improve his timing and make more contact. But I will say the immediate returns in that game is his timing still looked off, but it's hard. I'm not going to read too much into one game in the spring. We'll see what those changes bring actually in the season, but it's something that I was expecting to see. We've seen it now. I think it could be a positive change for him. So we'll see where it goes with that.
And Chase Davis, to remind everybody, was the Cardinals' first round draft pick and outfielder last year from the University of Arizona, started at Palm Beach. Didn't have the kind of debut that we'd hope for, but he's a very talented young player.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so two more names that I had marked down from that game were Pedro Pajes, looked really good behind the plate, really good framer, really good blocker, even threw out a runner at second base, trying to steal. He looks like a he has the potential to be a glove first, defense oriented, potentially major league backup catcher. I don't know if the bat ever comes around enough for him to really be a regular, but there's enough there defensively for him to actually, I think, make a debut. And I think we'll see the Cardinals treat him as kind of that third catcher this year, where if somebody gets hurt, he can come up and down. I
Yeah,
think the
interesting
Florida
story.
man qualifies that. No, you're
Sure.
good.
The interesting backstory about Pajes, he was exposed in the Rule 5 draft about 15 months ago and was unclaimed, but he made enough progress this last year at Springfield that the Cardinals protected him this winter. So Pedro Pajes is on the 40-man roster. He'll be at Memphis, so he'll be that emergence that, like Blake said, the third catcher that'll be called up if Herrera or Contreras need to spend any time on the injured list. You said you had one more player you want to talk about.
Yeah, so the last player was Quinn Matthews. Unfortunately, I did not get to watch him pitch because the second game was not televised. But Quinn Matthews was up about 3 miles per hour in velocity from where he was in his senior year of college. That's something that I mentioned I was hoping would happen, and I thought could happen when I actually brought up his counterpoint after the draft, because he's tall, kind of lanky, definitely had room to put muscle on. His mechanics are pretty clean. He looks like a guy who could have added that velocity. So I know he's only thrown in the one inning stint in a showcase. Maybe he was amped up. Maybe not, but it is interesting to see that that velocity is taken up towards the mid 90s instead of the low 90s, because that obviously has big ramifications for him as a prospect going forward.
So we're now in the final week of spring training in St. Louis. The final game at Jupiter is Sunday. Then the Cardinals go out to Mesa, Arizona for two games against the Cubs, and then the regular season starts. The major league roster is right now, as we record this on Tuesday, 46 players, 38 40-man rosters, and 8 non-roster invitees. So you can do the math to get from 46 to 26. They've got to make 20 cuts. However, it's really about 16 cuts because four players are going to probably open the season on the injured list. Of course, we talked about Edman and Nootbaar. And then, of course, Sonny Gray may or may not be active day one, but hopefully he'll be activated fairly soon after that. But then the new news this week is Kanan Middleton, one of the relievers the Cardinals picked up, veteran reliever, is injured and will go on the injured list. That opens the door potentially for one of the guys that was on the bubble. And two guys I saw pitch today late in the game looked very good. We've talked a lot about Riley O'Brien. He's continued to impress all spring long. But Kyle Leahy is an interesting guy who pitched. He's picked up a couple of saves, and granted, in spring training games, usually the big league hitters are gone by the ninth inning. But Kyle Leahy is a guy who was on the 40-man, got taken off, but he's performing very, very well this spring. What's your take on Leahy, and what is Middleton's injury? What might that mean to the bullpen race?
Yeah, so Leahy's somebody who's interesting. I think he had some rough outings that might have caused some people to write him off a little bit. The fastball doesn't have great shape, but he does throw it pretty hard. It's probably about 95, 96, and he gets a lot of extension on it. When in fact, I think it's about 7.2 feet of extension, which is crazy extension, which means it might be 95, but it looks more like 97, 98 to a hitter just because of how close he releases it to the plate. So that does help it play up a little bit. And then actually, we've seen it a little bit this spring. We saw it towards the end of the year last year. He still has his slider. He'll still throw it, and it's more of a traditional slider. But he broke out a sweeper. And this year, so he only threw it about 50 times kind of towards the end of last year in AAA. This year in spring training, the sweeper's gotten about an extra 4 or 5 inches of horizontal break. Granted, small sample size again, but it's still something that's interesting to watch. I think that could be a pitch that he's kind of toying with to see if he can maybe get some more swing and miss from the secondary stuff in his arsenal. So if that comes around, it all of a sudden becomes a little bit more interesting. So I don't think he starts on the major league roster, of course. Probably isn't even one of the first names that you would have up, but I do think that he could, if he can maybe use the fastball on the sweeper here a little bit more in AAA. That could be a guy who puts himself into the conversation for a call up later in the year.
Okay. And Riley O'Brien, I mean, you've talked about him a lot. Anything new to add on him?
No, I mean, no, nothing new. I actually just tweeted out some of his pitch metrics from spring training, but the most notable thing is that he's up 2 miles per hour on a sinker from where he was last year, and that already comes with a curveball that just missed. I think it. Out of the zone whiff rate was like 80%. Like it's one of the more it was one of the more unhittable pitches in all of AAA last year. He's missed a lot of bats in spring this year. He's kept the walks down. I think with the Middleton injury, Riley O'Brien's probably the next man up to replace him in the bullpen. I would be surprised at this point if he wasn't on the opening day roster.
Yep, he's really put himself on the radar this spring. And of course, he was a guy that was picked up basically for cash from Seattle, had come up, I believe, in the Rays system, and is older, 28 years old, I believe. But as we learned when we talked about Leahy, guys can continue to improve. They can learn new pitches. They can become better. And that's what it's all about. Blake also mentioned his Twitter feed or X feed. You can follow Blake at BT underscore Newberry, and I'm at B underscore Walton. We're beginning underscores here. And I think with that, we'll close off the March 20th version of Wednesdays with Walton and Newberry. Make sure you stop by the Cardinal Nation. I'll have reports this week from, I'm going to primarily focus on minor league camp and the happenings that are going on there. You can, of course, subscribe to the site. Please do. And also pick up your copy of the Cardinal Nation Prospect Guide. We still have hard copies available, and it's also available in PDF version at a little bit lower price. So with that, we'll see you next week. Thanks again, Blake.
Thank you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.